Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. The theme this evening is that of wasted warnings. I pray the Lord will take even the title and write it upon hearts in the meeting. Julius Caesar, the Emperor of Rome, he died on the 15th day of March in the year 44 BC. 60 senators at that particular time conspired against him, and it is recorded that he experienced 23 stab wounds. Julius Caesar was stabbed by those senators. They gathered around him with knives in their hands and stabbed 23 times. In some ways, his death could have been avoided. The reason his death could have been avoided was he received many warnings in advance of the plots that were being made against him. Like Pilate's wife in the scriptures, Caesar's wife had a bad dream. In that dream, she saw circumstances relating to her husband's death, and she relayed in great detail all that had been seen, all that she had seen in her dreams. In addition to that, a friend gave him a letter. In the letter, he relayed to Julius Caesar the names of the conspirators, their plans, their plots against him. But after his death, that letter was found on his person unopened. So Julius Caesar was warned over and over, but he didn't listen. He didn't heed the words of warning. We could say, you think of the title tonight, they were wasted warnings. And the result of wasting those warnings was his own death. He lost his life. And I want to say to you tonight, brethren and sisters, men and women, I wonder, is that true of someone in this meeting tonight? In your life, you have been warned. Warned of your danger. You've been warned of your spiritual danger. You've been warned about eternity. But yet you haven't listened. You haven't obeyed. You're still not right with God, still not saved. You're still in danger of eternal death. We've highlighted a little of Caesar's physical death, but you're in danger of eternal death, being lost forever. Wasted warnings. Maybe that sums up your life to this point. So I want us to think about that theme in the gospel just for a little while tonight from this text of scripture that is before us. Notice, first of all, that the warnings were repeated. The text says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck. It is true to say, men and women, that you have been warned about eternity many times. In fact, if you were honest, you'd have to say that you've been warned about eternity more times than could be numbered. You've been warned by members of your family, some of your friends, some of those people that you work with. You've been spoken to and warned by gospel ministers and evangelists. You've been warned even about death and eternity through sickness, sometimes serious illness. In addition to that, you've been warned through events, very serious and striking events that have taken place in your life, none more serious and striking than the events that not just befall our own nation, but the whole earth, even at this particular time. So it's true to say, God has spoken in your life. God has spoken over and over. God has spoken to you through different people in different ways, different methods. He has spoken very clearly. He has spoken to you very powerfully. And still you haven't turned to him. Still you haven't come to Christ in salvation. Our sister Joy, out in Nepal, whenever some of the brethren from our presbytery went out there for the first time, I'm thinking particularly of the Reverend Harris, the current chairman of our mission board. On his first visit there, preaching at some of the meetings, the Lord blessed and people were saved. He was speaking to some of those people after they had counseled them and led them to Christ. And he asked them this question. He was especially interested to know, how many times previously have you heard the gospel? Do you know what the answer to the question on that particular occasion was? They thought maybe two or three times at the most. It's not staggering, men and women. Only heard the gospel. Only heard the gospel a few times. And still they responded. Still they came to Christ in salvation. Now I want to ask you tonight, by way of contrast, how many times have you heard the gospel message? Can I give you an idea tonight? If you have heard the gospel once a week, and some of you have heard it two or three times a week, but if you've heard the gospel only once a week for 20 years, that's approximately 1,000 times and more. And some of you have lived through gospel meetings for much longer than that, so the number for you would be 2,000 or 3,000 times at least. Now imagine that. Just take it in tonight. Imagine hearing a warning of any nature. Imagine especially hearing a warning of hell, the dangers of going to hell, 1,000 times and more, and still not listening, still not responding to that warning. How foolish, men and women. And yet, that's what you have done if you're out of Christ. You've been often reproved. The warnings, God's warnings to your heart have been repeated. You've been brought up under the gospel. We sometimes use the expression, you've known the gospel from your mother's knee. You look back, you have memories of those days, sitting on your mother's knee as she taught you the scriptures and told you the Bible stories, told you the story of the cross. What blessings, what privileges, what opportunities you have had. You think of Sunday after Sunday, maybe twice on some Sabbath days, through the Sunday school, the children's meetings, the youth fellowship, attended many missions in addition to all of that. What mercy you have known. How often you have been spoken to, how often you have been warned, and still you're not saved. Still, as you sit in the service tonight, you're not right with God. And men and women, that's a cause for great concern. A cause for great concern. So the warnings were repeated. I want you to see as well, the text teaches us and shows us that the warnings were rejected. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. The sad thing is, God's warnings, now just think of that, we're talking here about warnings from heaven in grace and in mercy, but God's warnings are often rejected. Even when God speaks so clearly, even when God speaks with such patience and with such mercy, those warnings are still refused. Just take it in tonight. Think of it. 1,000 warnings. And what has been the response? They have received 1,000 rejections. Is that what you have done? Have you rejected the gospel so often, so many times? Let me tell you tonight, let me tell you plainly what happens every time the gospel is rejected. It's very important. It's taught here in this text of Scripture. What happens is your heart gets harder. Harder to the things of God. And I want to ask you just to take that in. There's a hardening that takes place in your life. The text says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You know, the picture's there. It's an agricultural picture of a yoke of oxen. And they've been driven on. Sometimes they were prodded. And the oxen would harden its neck. It would rebel against the instructions, the direction that its master wanted it to go. And it's a picture of the sinner. And the outward response is an indication of the inward condition, the hardening against the gospel. That's a picture of the heart of the sinner and the response to the gospel message. And what you need to understand tonight is that your heart will not always be as soft. Your heart will not always be as open to the gospel as it is today, as it is tonight, as you sit in this meeting. Remember that Pharaoh, the Bible says, he hardened his heart. Pharaoh heard Moses, God's servant. Pharaoh heard the message of God. Pharaoh saw the miracles of the Lord, the power of God, displayed in such a dramatic fashion in his land. He was told by his own magicians, it was the very finger of God. But he didn't yield. He hardened himself. That was his response to God speaking to him so repeatedly and so powerfully. And remember, if you go on without Christ, it will be the same for you. Your heart will be the same. Your heart will get harder too. George Truett, he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. For over 40 years, he conducted the funeral one day of one of his members. He was riding back from the cemetery in the funeral car. Sitting beside him was another member of his congregation. The man wasn't saved, wasn't right with God. Dr. Truett took the opportunity to speak to him about the things of God tenderly, carefully. The man said to him, as Dr. Truett spoke to him that day, he said, many years ago when I sat in gospel meetings that you preached at, he said, I thought I would have died if I didn't give my heart to Christ. But he said, I put it off. I rejected the message. I rejected the invitation. I injected the entreaties. I put it off and I put it off and I put it off, he said, until the feeling left me. You see, that man was like Pharaoh. He hardened himself against the Lord and against the workings of the Spirit in his heart. And men and women, I want you to see tonight that the same may happen to you. Maybe you're in that very condition this evening. Once you were afraid as you sat in gospel meetings. Once you trembled like Felix. Once you were deeply convicted when the gospel message was proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. But now you've got used to it. Now the strongest, hottest gospel preaching doesn't trouble you in the slightest. How sad. Oh, how very, very sad that is. Do you know what has happened in your life? Your heart is hardened. That's a solemn thing. Your heart is hardened to the gospel message. That's something that's tragic and fearful. Men and women, can I point out to you that in meetings like this, we would often plead with sinners to repent, to turn to Christ, and to do that now, that there's no better time, that's the right time, that's God's time for you to be saved. And I want to renew that plea one more time in the meeting tonight. I want to urge you in the words of the New Testament to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You ask me, why should I repent? Why should I repent now? Well, there are many reasons that can be given in answer to that question. But one is this, men and women. Remember, sin has a hardening effect upon the heart of man. The book of Hebrews says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, the reality is, the longer you go on in sin, the longer you race down the broad road to hell, the harder your heart becomes. Sin has a hardening effect upon the heart of the unconverted person. And when that happens, you won't be concerned anymore about the things of God. You will no longer hear the voice of God. You will no longer feel and sense the movings and the strivings of the Spirit of God in your life and upon your heart. And there will be, think of it, take it in, there will be less and less hope of you ever being saved, ever being right with God. So I want to say to you tonight, earnestly, tenderly, solemnly, as we're here before God, I want to say beware rejecting God's warnings and the invitations of the gospel and the strivings of the Spirit. Some very interesting stories about George Whitefield. Men that were converted, men and women converted under his ministry. One occasion, Whitefield was preaching in a certain place. A man came along. He intended to kill Whitefield that day. He came with a lot of stones big enough to do damage to George Whitefield. His pockets filled with the stones. His intention was, when Whitefield started to pray, he'd take the stones out and throw them, fire them at the preacher, aim them at his head, wanted to take the life of God's servant. But God stepped in. God stepped in that day. God began to work on that man's heart as he heard the message proclaimed. And this is how they summed up what happened that day. Instead of breaking Whitfield's head, God broke that man's hardened heart. And men and women, I pray God will break your hardened heart today as well. Remember his words, the hammer. The word of God is likened to many things in the scriptures. It's a hammer. The hammer that breaks the rock. The rock is something that's hard, just like your heart, hardened by sin. So we pray that the hammer will break the rock in pieces. There's one other thing I want you to see. The warnings were repeated, they were rejected. The text says the warnings were replaced. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Think of the solemn words. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want you to see tonight that you can reject Jesus Christ for the last time. And maybe that will happen for you as you sit in this gospel service this evening. I can remind you that God is patient. In fact, it is true to say there's no one as patient as God is. One of the greatest examples of God's patience in the Bible is the man Methuselah, the oldest man ever to live. Died at the age of 969 years of age. The name Methuselah means when he is dead or when he expires, it shall come. It was a warning of the flood. It was when Methuselah died that great judgment came upon the earth. And that name, men and women, and that life is a great illustration of God's patience. Why did God allow that man to live as long as he did, almost for 1,000 years? Well, because that's how long God was patient with that wicked, sinful, adulterous generation. So I want you to see tonight, God is patient. God is long-suffering. Peter talks about the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. God is long-suffering. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to be lost, doesn't want your soul to be lost. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that you should perish. But I want you to remember, men and women, never forget, there is a limit even to the patience of God. Think of what it says in the first chapter of the book of Romans. God gave them up. It's not a sobering thought tonight. What if God were to give you up? You've rejected his warnings, his invitations, his mercy so often for so long. What if God were to say to you tonight, just go on then. Just go on down the broad road. Just go on in your sin. And remember, if God continually speaks and you continually refuse to listen or continue to refuse to obey, then God can and will intervene in your life. And when he intervenes, he will do it in the most dramatic manner, as this text says. He will replace the warnings. And you know what he will replace them with? Death and destruction. Notice what the text says. Not just death, but also destruction. He says, suddenly destroyed. Doesn't just say suddenly died. Suddenly destroyed. You know that in the Bible, destruction is another name for hell. The Savior talked about those on the broad road, and it leads to destruction. So the message is clear, men and women. You could be swept out into hell and swept out in just a moment of time, suddenly, without any warning, unexpectedly. I read the story of a church in Pennsylvania in the United States, having a 2-week gospel mission. Young lady went along to those meetings. She went every other night. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the first week she was at the mission. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, she went to the dance. She'd written it into a book, like a diary, schedule. And this is what the schedule said. Mission, dance, so on. But then the second week, there was a change, men and women. It was mission, dance, coffin. Because she died. Young, full bloom of health. Died without warning. As the text says, suddenly destroyed. So I want you to see, realize tonight, how near you are to eternity. Doesn't matter how well you are. Doesn't matter tonight how healthy you are. Don't be resting in those things. The reality is this, men and women, you're only a breath. You're only a heartbeat from going to hell. Some people are waiting on a deathbed repentance. Perhaps you're one of them. I want you to know tonight it's folly. Absolute folly to wait on a deathbed repentance in the light of the teaching of a text of Scripture such as this. Suddenly destroyed. That's very clear, isn't it? Everybody here tonight understands the language of Solomon in this verse of Scripture. You could die in a moment. That's all it takes. You could die in a moment of time. And it stresses to us the great need to be ready. There's nothing in this world that supersedes this, to know that you're ready to die. And I wonder, is that true of you tonight? Can you say it's well with your soul? The Scriptures tell us the words of Isaiah to Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Need to sort out your life, especially the spiritual affairs in your life. And I want to implore you to do that in the service this evening. Note the word at the end of the text. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Without remedy. I told you this morning in the children's address, you've only one soul. And when that one soul is lost, you don't get another. Can't be replaced. Without remedy. The message of the text is, there's no hope, men and women. Now just let that sink into your heart tonight. There is no hope for the soul that dies without Christ as its Savior. No hope of being saved. No hope of being in heaven. No hope of ever getting into heaven. No hope of the sufferings of hell ever ending. And I want you to think about that. There's a very noted preacher, Greek scholar, Dr. James Morrison. He lived during one of the times that there was a controversy about the teaching of the doctrine of endless punishment. People were querying, questioning, explaining away the literal and actual flames of hell. So Dr. Morrison sat down very carefully, read through the whole of the New Testament in the Greek language, studied carefully all that was written, took notes. Whenever he was finished, this is what he declared. This was the summary of what he found. There is no hope for the soul that goes to hell. You think of that, men and women, the hopelessness of that place, the hopelessness of hell. The Savior said when he was here on earth, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Those words are very significant. Power on earth. What that means is it's only in this life. It's only in this world. It's only while you're here upon this earth that you can be saved and your sins can be forgiven. All there is for the sinner after death is damnation and judgment. Think of Paul's words to the Hebrews. It's appointed unto men once to die. Did you ever notice the word once in that verse? It doesn't say it's appointed unto men to die. And that's true, men and women. It's appointed unto us all to die, except the fact the Savior comes. He's saying much more than that. It's appointed unto men once to die. The clear inference, indication there is, you can die more than once. You can die twice. The second death, that's body and soul cast out into the lake of fire forever. So it's appointed on the men once to die, And after this, what comes after death? He says, the judgment. So I want to impress that upon your heart tonight, men and women. It's only in this world, in this life, that you can be saved. So I stress to you, as I close the message this evening, you need to be saved. Now you see that as never before. And the reality is, in the light of the warning of this verse, you need to be saved now. That's the best time, the right time, the only time. See the urgency, men and women, the urgency, the great urgency there is in settling the matter of your soul's salvation. We took the title of Wasted Warnings. Well, you have been warned. You've been warned again tonight. Don't waste, men and women. Don't waste the warnings. God's mercy, God's grace, God's goodness to you in your life. Let me just read to you a couple of verses. It's a hymn of invitation. Sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. The verse 3 says, O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. That's what the Spirit of God does in a meeting like this. Will you think of this? What if he should strive nevermore? The Bible says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. The strivings of the Spirit can stop. What if he should strive nevermore, but leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore? And the fourth verse, O sinner, God's patience may weary someday. Didn't we highlight that in the message tonight? His patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast by willful resistance, rejecting your stubbornness, the hardening of your heart against the things of God. By willful resistance, you've drifted away over the deadline at last. Remember I said there is such a thing as the last invitation. There is such a thing as the last opportunity to get right with God. We thank you for your presence with us tonight. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, we'd be happy to talk to you for a little while after. But we pray the Lord will use the message in the gospel tonight. We'll have a wee word of prayer just to bring our service to a close. Just in closing,